Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Is Ohio cool or what? Apparently, the answer is what, according to Ohio Governor John Kasich.
Why do they want to go to the coast? It's cool. Why do they want to go to Austin? You ever been to Austin? It's very cool. You know, you want to go to the Triangle in North Carolina? Go down there and check it out. It's cool, okay? We need to make Ohio cool.
So do you agree that we need to make Ohio cool or not? And if so, what would you do to accomplish that goal? And do you think that Governor John Kasich is necessarily the arbiter of cool? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Tell us what you think about Ohio. Is it cool? And if not, what would you do? Coming up later, Walker Evans, founder of Columbus Underground, and also Sean Creighton of the Creative Class Group. Joining us now to help us grasp the cool concept for a city or state is pollster John Zogby, founder of Zogby International. Welcome to the show, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. You're also the author of a book, The Way Will Be, the Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream.
That's right. Which, yep, a peek into the future.
Which gets at this topic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we all want to be cool, right?
We do, absolutely. You do not want to be uncool, that's for sure.
And can we all be cool? Or is it just like there's only going to be a certain, you know, or is it a bell curve kind of a thing?
It all depends how you define cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cool could be the kids who do well on math tests, you know, and at the same time, cool could be kids who are arbiters or people who are arbiters of fashion what's a good thing to buy. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that cool has to be, you know, the latest or the best. It's what appeals to a cluster of people and not to everybody. One of the things I'm working on these days is the notion of tribes. And tribes can be very large or tribes can be very small, but they're all built on, you know, shared lifestyles, shared behaviors, shared attitudes, shared products. You know, if I went to, if I'm a Star Trek Trekkie and I have a network of people that I influence, I can be cool in that network. So it really is in the eye of the beholder.
Governor Kasich mentioned specifically Austin, Texas, and also the Triangle. He was referring to meant to the Research Triangle in North Carolina as cool places. I guess, what in your opinion makes, say, Austin cool? I mean, I think Austin's cool, too.
Oh, Austin is cool, and it's always right at the top of the list of cool. And, you know, essentially a place like Austin has a great university. Lots of amenities that appeal to young people in particular under 40, members of the creative class who work in the world of ideas, very broad group of people, anywhere from software engineers to networking consultants to artists, poets, lawyers, but people who work not with their hands unless they're artisans. But people who work, you know, mainly with the right side of their brain, you know, and places are cool if they have amenities that encourage people socially, help people find like-minded people to build networks, are pretty, and are a great place to do some things that stimulate you.
Transportation, is that considered an amenity?
Oh, it sure is. Accessibility is an amenity. So, you know, these days, not only because of the energy crisis, but because of lifestyle changes, cool is our accessible amenities built on a human scale level. If you've got to drive 40 miles over clover leafs and overpasses and underpasses, that in itself is not an encouraging but a discouraging amenity. On the other hand, if there are, and I don't want to overemphasize bars and cafes and nightclubs, because there there's also, you know, theaters, community theaters, places where readings are done, laugh clubs, just a variety of things. And if those are all easily accessible, that's a place where people can easily cluster after a long day's work.
My guest is pollster John Zogby, founder of Zogby International. If you have a question or comment for us, 614-292-8513. We specifically want to know if you think Ohio is cool, and if not, what would make it cool? Todd?
Can I say something, though?
Sure, John.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Cleveland many times, and Columbus enough, and Athens, Toledo, Cincinnati. I think Ohio's cool. Frankly, I think that there are plenty of interesting things. I love the ethnicity of Cleveland. I love the lake shore of Toledo. Cincinnati is many cities all wrapped up in one, you know, north and south. And these have draws. Columbus has a huge university that draws in young people, and universities encourage entrepreneurism. You know, Cincinnati has Procter & Gamble, sports teams, and so on. And Cleveland, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame isn't bad, you know.
What about that bohemian gay factor that's written about?
Yeah, Richard Florida writes about that.
Who's your city?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're looking at the three major factors in developing a community, and the factors are the three T's: talent, technology, and tolerance. Tolerance is very important here, because what tolerance means is that we're open. We're open for business, and we're open for you. And there's strong correlation that Florida writes about between gay communities and creativity and entrepreneurism and success and avant-garde thinking.
And all things being equal, given the economic downturn, property values.
And property values as well. That, in other words, and not my idea, it's Richard Florida's, who happens to be a buddy of mine. But, you know, the notion is that you don't want to think of growing communities by thinking of the big hit. You know, if only we got that $2 billion federal grant, or if only we can get the $800 million from the state of Ohio. Got to kind of shake your entire body and shake your hands and wipe that from your mind, that all great developments come from very, very restrictive public grants. These come from the bottom up, frankly.
Barbara from Marion, originally from California, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be on. I had a comment. I was driving to work. I'm a little late today, but when listening to Governor Kasich, I was just incensed. I mean, I came from California, and I moved to Ohio probably in 82, and I can tell you this is a fantastic state. This is a major cool state. You have the best education, medical centers, music, theater. You've got tremendous first quality everything here, and the people are wonderful. I remember my dad came here, and he couldn't believe people would actually stop and let him go into traffic flow. And so
you are from California.
I am, and yeah, I mean, he was just beside himself that somebody actually stopped and let him come into traffic. But and one thing that struck me and is the skin on the women here, and the men probably have great skin too, but they have no idea how beautiful this weather is for their skin.
Well, that's what I always say, all the rainy weather every day. It's like, hey, it's great for the complexion.
Can't believe it. And coming from California, it was like night and day. I just walked around my mouth open.
Wow.
Because I couldn't believe it. But the only people who don't think this state is cool are the people who live here. And that's because they've never been really anywhere else to know what they actually have. So we need to be proud of this state and proud of the people who live here.
Thank you, Barbara, for your call.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks.
John Zogby, how much is it a state of mind that if the governor's out there saying Ohio isn't cool, but Austin and the Research Triangle is, does that send a message out there that?
Sure. I think it comes from the bottom up, but basically that he himself is an Ohioan, and there's a self-image problem, that essentially Ohioans think, that we're that place in the Midwest with burned out cities, and we can't compete with the Austins of the world and the Miamis of the world. And the reality of the situation is everything that Barbara just pointed out, that every place touts its quality of life, to be sure. But every place also has the capacity to appeal to young people. And I talk about young people, obviously, because, and I write in my book extensively about our global citizens, the under 30 in our midst, being able to encourage them, not with the greatest jobs, but with their creativity. Being able to encourage them to be entrepreneurs and then to cluster in groups where they spend money in the community because they enjoy it, they love it. And I see, frankly, Columbus is a huge college town, and Cleveland, as it pointed out, it has athletics, it has ethnicity. Personal taste of mine is that I measure a cool place on the number of great Lebanese restaurants that it has.
Toledo, you must love Toledo and Cleveland.
I love Toledo, too, for that reason.
I miss their Lebanese restaurants. I agree. Let's get another call in. Ed in Baltimore, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. You kind of hit on what I was telling the screener before, is that I think John Kasich is making the same mistake that the leaders of Columbus make, and that is trying to force an image for other people to see rather than just going with what we have. And if something comes up and strikes us and fits, then that's fine. But how many different kind of monikers have we gone through for Columbus? The heart of it all, and experience Columbus, and Ohio is more than it seems, and that kind of things like that. And like it or not, we are a Midwestern, solid, people do their work, try to do the best they can type of state, and trying to fit an image over that just because you think we're not cool or because, hey, we need to have an image around the rest of the country, the image is going to be what it's going to be, and if it does change, it'll change when and if. But you can, like I say, you can't force an image, and all of these type of ideas are just really wasted ideas and wasted money. Let's get down to doing what we need to do, and the image will come when it comes.
Thank you, Ed. I wanted to squeeze in one more call while you're on the air, John Zogby. Dick in South Bloomfield, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm 70 years old. I've been in business for myself. I went broke in the 80s, which Kasich seems to have forgot about. And the Dispatch had a very good article that every person should read and buy the book called Senseless Panic by William Isaac. And he tells the story as it was in the 80s when we went broke, and we've done the same thing all over again now.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody seems to forget that. Now, being cool is having full employment for everyone. And then they got the money to spend on all these things that Kasich seems to think is important, to, the cool bars and all this and that. We've got a tremendous amount of people that used to have the ability to go out and do things that they're struggling working two jobs trying to just stay afloat. Now, that to me is cool when everybody participates.
John Zogby?
Oh, here. The thing is, how do you bring those jobs in? And there are different models. One way is to be relying on huge state grants or to think, that the big manufacturing plant is going to come back home. Well, frankly, it's not, and you don't want it to. The air is a hell of a lot cleaner. So what you need to do is rely on the fact that 70% of new jobs are created by young people who are entrepreneurial, who thrive off of each other and network with each other, and bring both an inside point of view of living in their hometown, as well as an outside point of view. In the palm of their hand, they are in network with the rest of the world. And so I don't think there's any disagreement that it's all about jobs. It's just how you get those jobs.
Well, John Zogby, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. A lot of fun.
John Zogby, he is founder of Zogby International Polling Company and also author of The Way Will Be, the Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream. When we return, we'll hear from Sean Crichton and Walker Evans. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. And you can get access to our station anytime online at WOSU.org. Hear local and national news all day, every day, from the convenience of your computer by streaming on the web. Listen to 89.7 NPR News anytime online at WOSU.org.
Support for 89.7 comes from WOW Internet Cable and Phone, where personal service comes standard with every installation. Details on bundled packages and services are available online at wowway.com or by phone at 8664-WOW-NOW.
And it's 54 degrees in downtown Columbus. Showers and thunderstorms are possible off and on throughout the day, a high of 62. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 37 degrees. Sunshine for Thursday and a high of 60. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about what makes Ohio cool, and if you think Ohio is cool or not, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We want to get to those calls as well as some emails. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm at AnnFisherWOSU if you want to go to Twitter or the Facebook page if that's your preferred mode of communication. Joining us now is Sean Crichton of the Creative Class Group. It's a global advisory services firm founded by Richard Florida, who we spoke of earlier. The Creative Class Group charts new ideas, research, and strategies for business, government, and community competitiveness and prosperity. And you're speaking for the Creative Class Group. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Ann.
I wanted to get to one phone call and before we move on and talk more about Richard Florida's theories of economic success. Todd in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Firstly, I agree with a lot of what Mr. Zogby said, but I have a few comments. One is that I think cool is young. It's always been a young type. And in part, I moved to Ohio because it's not as cool. Secondly, I used to live in New York City. I lived in L.A. I lived in Chicago, some of the coolest cities around. Cool has more to do with cities than it does to do with the surrounding area. And finally, I think, two things. One, I think cool also is much benefited by having a college town atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just recently noticed that that CCAD has a huge fashion department, mm-hmm. which is considered in high regard by an awful lot of companies around the world. And I think that that would add to the coolness of Columbus. But I don't think a state can be cool. I think there's really only two cool states, or maybe three in the entire country.
Which are?
I would call them California, Alaska, and Hawaii, and I'll say Alaska just because I'm an environmentalist type person.
Okay.
But I don't think I've been in Texas. Texas is not cool. I don't care how cool Austin is, but Texas is an uncool state. I've lived in Florida. I lived in Miami. That's a cool city. Florida is not a cool state.
Okay.
So it's more of an urban type concept, and okay. the fact that we have this fashion community in Columbus, if they develop that and develop the businesses around it, they kind of segueing into Sean Crichton here, maybe.
All right.
If develop that, I think we will be more cool.
Okay. Todd, thanks for your call and thanks for waiting.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sean, does Todd make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting. The when he talks about cool, or when a governor talks about cool, you know, with the it's an important message because what he's really talking about is the perception of a place and how that place shapes its identity and how it serves as an attractor. And when the governor is talking about cool, he's talking about attracting, my impression is, a younger, talented, college-educated professional. So I think Todd's right in that when he's talking about cool, he's talking about a younger group. But the bigger issue is, yeah, more about being a state or having cities that really do attract talent. And you probably already touched a little bit on this earlier, but, you know, Richard Florida and his research and his work around the creative economy, it's all about the importance of the place and its ability to produce talent and attract talent. And it's that talent that, I guess, in many cases, some of those other cities have also been identified as being cool, if you will.
There's been the question of what comes first, the proverbial chicken or the egg, and that a lot of younger people choose where they want to live before they even know if there's a job there. So they're going to go there and they're going to scrape something up. Like, how many people, you know, migrate to New York City every year and they'll work any kind of drudgery kind of job they can find just to be there and launch whatever ideas and whatever sort of creativity they're bringing with them?
Yeah, no, that's true. There's an excitement about the vibrancy of a big city and all the energy and opportunity. And a lot of times, you're right, they'll go off to the city without a job. Mm-hmm. Although more and more, I think, graduates are starting to think about, you know, locations in terms of their coolness, but also their opportunities mm-hmm. for them. You know, Richard, in his research, you know, he's showing that companies will relocate to those places as well, where there is a high concentration of talented young professionals.
Chuck in Akron, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, yes, ma'am. Thank you kindly. I really appreciate it. No, I totally disagree. The people are the ones that make a city or a state cool. And Ohio is not.
What do you mean by the people? How does that disagree with what's been said?
Radicals.
Oh, okay.
I have served 24 years, active Army, been in two wars, and I'm not allowed to go anywhere. And I'm sick and tired of people taking away my rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The only time I have any pleasures is when I leave this state. January of 07, the people of Ohio put four restaurants out of business. Lot, Stock, and Barrel. All because there is no smoking. I do not spend my money in the state of Ohio, and as soon as I get the opportunity, I plan on leaving.
Sean Crichton, what about the smoking issue? There's states, Ohio is not the only state with a statewide smoking ban. How does that play in the cool category?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that really plays. I mean, we were talking earlier about California, certainly one of the coolest states, if you will, and I think they led that smoking ban charge, and were one of the first kind of. I think, you know, it's more a matter of you know, the ability, and I'll go back to this, to attract and retain your top talent, and when Richard, he talks about the three T's: talent, technology, and tolerance. And you know, our regions in Ohio, we've got a lot of talent here. We have a tremendous number of colleges and universities. We have five major cities with pockets of real creativity. Maybe it needs to be scaled up a little bit more. And, you know, I live in a small village, Yellow Springs, about 45 minutes west of Columbus, and it's been noted nationally as one of the coolest small towns in the country. And it goes back to really just scaling up, engaging our young professionals and asking them what cool is or what they're looking for. When they think about rushing off to a Chicago or New York, what is it they're looking for? And how can we develop that further here in our state?
Okay. Chuck from Akron, thank you very much for your call. 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call and tell us what you think cool is and whether Ohio is cool, My guest is Sean Crichton. He is Executive Director of the Southwestern Ohio Council for Higher Education. He's also with the Creative Class Group, a spokesman or speaking for that. It's a group organized or created or founded by Richard Florida, the author of Hoosier City and also The Rise of the Creative Class. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Pete from Akron, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to call in. I just I didn't know what John Kasich said. I was just informed a little bit as to what he said by the poll screener. But I just happened to be watching on WVIZ, and I don't normally watch your show. I do in the evenings, actually, repeats. But
well, thank you.
One of the things I think people are jumping all over John Kasich. Sometimes I think the show should be one side, called One Side, not All Sides. That's been going on for quite a while. But I don't think we should read too much into that comment about the about Ohio, him wanting to be the Ohio being cool. I think what John mentioned was a good point. I think what he's talking about is the image that Ohio, and not necessarily just Ohio, but unfortunately, I think Cleveland gets most of the bad press outside of this area. When somebody dings Ohio, it's oftentimes Cleveland, and of course Cleveland is in the state of Ohio. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not in disagreement with anybody. There's a whole lot of good stuff here in Ohio, and it's not going to attract everybody.
Why do you think the governor brought it up in the first place?
I think, as Sean said, it's a bad image that Ohio has in the country, and I think that somehow or other, and I don't know if we can really change people's thoughts of it. I mean, you can go clear back to before you were born, and probably, but a lot of it started when Johnny Carson. Actually, it wasn't the fact so much that it was. The Cuyahoga River caught on fire, but Johnny Carson kind of like that became he was a popular guy, and I liked Johnny Carson. But stuff like that catches on, just like when Johnny Carson talked about toilet paper being short, there ended up being a big toilet paper shortage about 3 or 4 decades ago.
The power of Johnny Carson. Well, Sean Crichton, is it really just is it an image problem, and can you change an image problem? Thank you, Pete, by the way, for your call.
Can I say one other thing?
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that this state, I do more traveling as I get older, but this state, if you could like compare it to the beauty of Ohio, just the geography of Ohio, mm-hmm. compared to places like Florida. Florida is a beautiful state, but if you take away all the man-made stuff that goes into Florida that makes it beautiful, like near the resorts and everything.
Well, there's the oceans.
The terrain is not that pretty. Neither is Georgia. Until you get into, like, Kentucky and Ohio, this is a beautiful, beautiful land here where we live.
I agree.
And it has a little bit of everything as far as terrain. But the people, there's so much. There is a lot to do, but it's a hard thing to change this perception, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, but, yeah, you go ahead, Sean. You can try to answer her question.
Thank you, Pete.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, thank you. I'll just add some thoughts to that. I think you're right that the image of Ohio outside, maybe within Ohio, but certainly outside of Ohio, is one that's not really understood. And then some of the things that get national attention do not really help to reinforce how great a state Ohio is. I'm from New York originally, born, raised, and came out here about 10 years ago, and Ohio is my adopted state, and I really like what's going on here. And tying back to an earlier comment that was made, it's true, it's not like a state is cool. I mean, we can try and have our own perception of what state you might think is cool, but we're talking about cities, and the governor's talking about cities also. He's not talking about Texas. He's talking about Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it about Austin? You know, what are the factors there that people flocked there? What is it about North Carolina and Research Triangle and what's going on there? You know, we have all that going on right here. We have music scenes. We have great partnerships between universities and business. And we have major cities across this state. So it's a matter of really those individual cities, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, Toledo, Akron, you know, kind of working together on really lifting up the image of Ohio, because there's great potential, especially if we can work together on this. I think, and that's one of the keys. And something that I, you know, as a leader of an organization that focuses on collaboration, I see the power of collaboration and, you know, and working together, the collective power, and how we can make important change and improve our future.
We have an email from Angel, writes, cities and states that are more cosmopolitan and liberal-minded seem cool to me. How can Ohio be cool when the populace doesn't seem either cosmopolitan or socially liberal? Who would really move from Washington, D.C., Atlanta, or Seattle to here? And then we have a couple comments from Facebook. We have many comments from Facebook that we're looking at, but here's a few. One from Jennifer. She writes, some culture would help. I've lived a lot of places, cool and otherwise, and the difference is culture. We aren't known for anything really except stupid football, and I would imagine Jennifer's talking about Columbus, or maybe she's talking about the whole darn state. And then we have from Brian on Facebook, when I hear the governor say cool, he sounds like my grandpa trying to fit in with a younger generation he doesn't understand. And Elizabeth on Facebook says, Ohio will never be cool, cold, but never cool. weather doesn't necessarily that big of a factor. I mean, it is to some people, but in the coolness department, not necessarily.
Well, I want to comment on two things.
Okay.
One, in Richard Florida's research, when he's looking at creative cities, kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, he's looking at talent, technology, and tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And in our state, and he's done a lot of research on cities in Ohio, you know, we score fairly strong or high in talent and technology, but tolerance, that becomes an area, a weak area for some of our cities in Ohio. And the question was raised earlier, and the email kind of reinforced that. You know, when he talks about tolerance, he's talking about reception to different lifestyles, new ideas, ways of thinking, whether it's a counterculture, and that is an area. I mean, how do we address that? That's a cultural issue. And while there are pockets of it, you know, that's a much broader issue and maybe something that stifles our creative growth.
I want to hear from Carol and Bexley right now, and she's going to bring up an issue I want to talk about. Hi, Carol. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
I wanted to
actually follow up on that kind of a comment.
Yeah.
I think that the difficulty that we have in Ohio and in being cool, so to speak, was really exacerbated by the passage of Issue 1, the constitutional amendment banning marriage between gay and lesbian people.
Mm-hmm.
It's given Ohio a reputation of intolerance, and I know that, you know, my friends nationwide wonder why I still live in Ohio. I frequently wonder why I still live in Ohio. And, you know, if it were not for career ties here, I would find another place to live that focused more on the tolerance, because we do well in the technology part and in the talent department, but we drive talent and technology away from our lack of tolerance.
You know, Sean Crichton, the making it a constitutional amendment, as Ohioans did, almost is as close to etching it in stone as you can get.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when addressing tolerance, when you have policy issues like that go against, you know, creating a culture of tolerance, that really hurts the state. So, I mean, you know, one thing certainly the state can look at from a governmental point of view is to create policies that really celebrate tolerance and diversity and different lifestyles, and to open up, you know, Ohio to all kinds of possibilities. And, you know, that I think that really sends a strong message.
Carol, I think so, too. Yes.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And don't leave. Don't leave the state.
Well, I don't think I'm leaving anytime soon. I work hard on developing more tolerance, but it would be wonderful if the governor could see the destruction that results from that kind of legalized intolerance, and to start to work on turning that back around to be more inclusive and open as a state. I think that would be cool.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
One more topic, Sean, before we let you go, is the governor specifically mentioned in that same breath that streetcars aren't cool, that you can easily take a bus, and a bus is just as cool to young people. What about that transportation issue? We talked a little bit about it with John Zogby.
You know, I think it goes back to the larger question of talking, if it's really the young professionals that the governor is reaching out to And that's what I interpret from the video and the words. In other words, that you have to engage the young professionals in determining what needs to be done, what kind of changes need to take place to really keep them here. And you have to engage them in that process. It needs to be a collaborative process. You know, public transportation, talking about that, it shows up on a lot of the research that that is something that young people are interested in. So, you know, if that's true of Ohio, the young professionals who are leaving, you know, then that's something we need to look into. And obviously, we had an opportunity to connect our cities that was passed over. But, you know, it really just goes back to connecting with the young people and finding out what it is we can do, what kind of changes and policies we can implement.
Sean Crichton, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Sean Crichton's executive director of the Southwestern Ohio Council for Higher Education. He was also speaking to us on behalf of the Creative Class Group, the organization created by Richard Florida. If you have a question or comment for us, 614-292-8513. We'll return and talk with Walker Evans, founder of ColumbusUnderground.com, in a few minutes. That's all. So stay with us. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Unrest and chaos in North Africa and the Middle East.
The overthrow of the Sunni royal family. That's the demand of the youth movement.
The young people are writing with their blood a new chapter in the history of struggle and resistance.
I've never heard, in all the years I've been coming here, such anger and openly expressed anger at the regime.
The world is changing fast. NPR News is there.
On 89.7 NPR News. And this is 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides begins. Over 80% of LGBT students report being harassed at school. How do we openly address anti-gay bullying and challenge homophobia in our schools and culture? That discussion begins at 11 here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
And it's 55 degrees in downtown Columbus. Steady temperatures in the mid-50s today with a chance of rain. Clouds tonight and a low of 37. Sunshine for Thursday and a high of 60 degrees. A chance of rain Thursday night and a low of 39. And then rain likely for Friday and a high of 60. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. We're talking about Ohio. Whether or not we think it's cool. We were inspired to this show by comments the governor made the other day comparing Ohio to places like Austin and the Research Triangle in North Carolina, which are cool places, from Doug on Facebook, on the Facebook chat at WOSU.org/allsides for that matter. He writes, I think the first step is making a city that we love to live in and don't want to leave. Anything to attract and retain dynamic people should be prioritized. Wild Goose Creative, Walker Evans, Jenny's Ice Cream, and our new local distilleries are on the right path. Kudos to them. Speaking of one, Walker Evans is with us now. Welcome to the show, Walker.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I guess that makes my show cool.
I hope.
Cool. What was your impression when you heard what the governor said?
I agree with what Sean said earlier. I think his intention was to say that we need to make our state a more attractive to young, talented, creative people. We want our cities to be on the radar, you know, when people in other states and other parts of the country are looking to relocate, you know, for exciting, great places to live. So I think he may have chosen some poor words to illustrate the point that he was trying to make. And I agree that we do need to make our cities better places. I think the big disconnect comes from the fact that it sounds like Kasich is being the person who is determining what cool is. And then like Sean said, you know, you've really got to listen to the audience if you want to attract that audience. And I don't know if that's really happening.
What do you think is it the chicken or the egg thing again? Is it like what Doug on Facebook just said that we need to make a city we love to live in and one we want to stay in first.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you know, like you said, there's a lot of great things to already be excited about. I think Columbus is a cool place to live. I think it depends on who you ask and how engaged they are in the community. But generally, the people who have taken the time to go out and find the things that they like already enjoy the city quite a bit.
Kyle from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Walker, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You caught me off guard. I wanted to share that I'm happy that Governor Kasich recognizes the need to make change in the state, although I'm not certain that he's the person to do it. Getting behind issues like gay marriage would enforce the tolerance that we're lacking right now. And also, what's going to make the state cool, if you will, and specifically Columbus, which is the only city I've experienced with, is getting out of the way of people that are authentically engaged in really creating the home that they want and encouraging and engaging more of that.
Walker?
Agreed. I'm not sure what else to add to that. I think Kyle sounds like a pretty cool guy.
Thank you, Kyle.
Together, it's on me. But I wanted to mention one thing, and that is that, you know, we struggle to come up with a tagline, and rather than that, we should be struggling to come up with empowerment, letting the people that would define the, if you will, cool experience in cities like Columbus do exactly that through progressive codes, through investment in areas that can be developed for people that are willing to make investments in areas that are struggling. A lot of other cities are doing this. There are great best practices out there, and we should really be concentrating our time and energy in understanding those best practices and applying them as they can be applied to our city. It's not always a pro forma exercise that because Austin or Portland or San Francisco have something, that there can be a direct transplant. That doesn't translate well. What happens is we fail. So we should look at the resources we have a goal like the governor's goal, which is make this be perceived as a cool state, work city by city, area by area, and it will grow organically.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion around what Kyle mentioned with kind of branding our city or branding our state or having a national identity. And I agree that, you know, it's got to come, you know, from the grassroots, from the smaller institutions and organizations. And the thing that I think is significant to watch over the past couple of years is that even though we've tried these different exercises on a larger scale, that hasn't stopped, the smaller businesses and entrepreneurs and creatives from doing what they're doing. You know, you look at the example earlier of Jenny's Ice Creams. They're written about in national publications almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
So no sort of governmental kind of top-down branding initiative has slowed down what they're already doing, which is already, you know, promoting Columbus. And Ohio is a very interesting, cool, creative place.
Thank you, Kyle, for that call. We have some emails. We have from Eugene on Facebook. He said, right, perhaps a realization that Ohio, and in particular Columbus, is not all that bad in the first place. We have a great music scene and a vibrant art community, a good combination of large corporate government employers and independent startups, reasonable cost of living, and parking spaces. I think we are all right. Thank you, Eugene. And email from Tyler, I am 24 years old and an OSU grad. Is Ohio cool? No, that is the short and dirty answer, because the important thing isn't to change our mind, our meaning those of us already here. We need to convince the nation. The long answer, though, is yes. Yes, we are cool. We have professional sports, a food scene, and yuppie base that is growing. Outsiders need to know that. Yeah, the food scene is, Jenny's is part of that. Let's see. Now, Walker, you posted that question on ColumbusUnderground.com. What did people say?
I just posted this last night, asking what people think would make Ohio and Columbus cooler, and there was a lot of response, and some of the most interesting came from not from what physically or tangibly would make this a cooler city or cooler state, but the messaging aspect. You know, how do you either portray that, or do you portray that? You know, I think what one of the Facebook comments there said, you know, we don't need to convince ourselves, we need to convince everyone else. I don't know if you need to do that. I mean, I think Columbus is a little bit under the radar. I think some people know you know, some of the things that are going on here, some of the things going on in Cleveland or Cincinnati. But once you're above the radar, I mean, once you've gone sort of mainstream, when everyone knows what kind of city you are, like Portland or Austin, you've kind of surpassed that mark. And you look at the example of Portland, and they've got, I don't know if you've seen the show Portlandia, where they're kind of making fun of the hipster scene and the local food scene there. And it's almost kind of gotten to the point of ridicule. So I have to imagine some of the locals there might be a little more jaded, a little, you know, beyond cool, starting to get sick of it. Everyone knows about this. It's time to find something new, sort of a thing.
I always sort of think, you know, Portland, you don't think of Portland, Maine. You know, they're talking about Portland, Oregon. And for the first time that I've seen it, I'm not saying it is the first time, but I saw Columbus referred to just as Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And that says something.
There's been some discussion on Columbus Underground about do we say Columbus or do we say Columbus, Ohio? Some people, you know, and I kind of agree, you say Ohio because you're proud of being in Ohio. We shouldn't try to completely dislocate ourselves from the state. But at the same time, you know, I see the value in standing alone, you know, standing as a city. And I was recently in San Francisco in February at a tech conference, and I made it a very intentional point the 3 days I was there to never say Ohio when I was talking to people and, you know, kind of mingling and, you know, people ask where you're from. And I always said Columbus, and not one of them asked Ohio. They either said, you know, oh, I have a friend that went to OSU, or, you know, oh, I used to live in Cincinnati. They just assumed Ohio. So I think internally we have, especially people who've lived here a long time, have different perceptions than kind of the younger generation. I think things have changed quite a bit.
Ron in Grove City, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting. Hi, Ron.
You know, this whole cool thing coming out of the mouth of our governor when he said ditch the high-speed rail that would connect the cities to where you could go and have fun and enjoy the urban areas and network with other young people.
Mm-hmm.
And since transportation is such a key element to coolness, I just think that was a big mistake, and I would hope somebody would try to improve the rail system. It would also create a lot of jobs.
You mean create a passenger rail system, because there is none.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Walker, any thoughts about the ripple effect of that decision?
Well, the interesting thing, I thought the clip that you played earlier with Kasich, he said we need to be more like the coast, so we need to be more like Austin, we need to be more like the Triangle, Raleigh, Durham.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that those three areas all have that Ohio doesn't is Amtrak. We do have it kind of cut through Cleveland up north. But
it doesn't connect the city.
Columbus doesn't have it. It doesn't go through our major urban centers. And so, yeah, I do. I agree that's an extremely important piece of the puzzle when it comes to what young people value in places to live.
Ron, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Let's move on to Rick in Grandview. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I wouldn't claim to be the coolest person in the world. Kasich is probably the last person I'd want to party with.
Okay.
So I don't understand his definition of, I have no idea what, whatever his definition of cool is. I think most people that are in my definition cool, would not agree with his definition of cool.
In other words, as Walker said earlier, it's kind of in the eye of the, you know, beholder, and
right. It's
more about who are you trying to attract, not what you personally think is cool, Governor Kasich.
Right, right. And I think I'm almost, you know, kind of out of the young people demographic myself. I'm 31 and I have kids now, and so generally, if I want to know what's cool, I'll ask my 18-year-old brother-in-law who's at OSU, what's cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely an age factor that goes along with those things.
Thanks for that call. And I wanted to get to Angie in Hilliard. Angie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to agree with all the previous callers who were talking about the ironies of our governor saying he wants the state to be cool, but yet so many policies are contradicting that. I have master's educated future teachers as my students, and they want to stay here, but our policies that are cutting funding for education, they're not going to get jobs here. So they're going to job fairs all over the place, Alaska, Colorado, Kentucky. I have a lot of students who are teaching in Kentucky, not because they wanted to leave Ohio. So the collective bargaining, you know, they don't see Ohio as a very professional, friendly state in terms of teaching. So there's just this huge irony. We say we want this, but yet we're shoving these great, bright, talented young people out the door.
Okay. Thank you, Angie. So we teach them and then we ship them out.
Right. And you're going to get some of that. I mean,
no matter what.
Right, right. I think Columbus has the second largest college population per capita after Boston. So we have a a larger number of college students than we're going to know what to do with. We're not going to be able to retain all of those. But there are ways, you know, that we can encourage that. We can encourage them to start businesses, to look for jobs here. But it's got to be something new. You know, the governor and a lot of locals as well, local leaders talk about new economic development and what we can do. And so far what we've seen in that is sort of the traditional, we'll shovel lots of money at large corporations to stay here, and I don't think that is quite as proactive and groundbreaking as what we're seeing in some of the other states.
Okay, well, I want to thank you, Walker Evans, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always fun.
Walker Evans, he's founder, publisher of ColumbusUnderground.com. I want to thank all of our callers today, and sorry we couldn't get to everybody, and everybody who joined us at WOSU.org/allsides on our Facebook chat, which we now have on our new webpage. You want to check that out, I'd appreciate it. And thanks for listening. We have to go right now, but I'm sure this conversation will continue because someone always keeps bringing it up. Are we cool? And I think we are. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.